Welcome to another episode of the Capital Playbook. My name is Charles Williams. I am the owner and managing member of Pioneer Realty Capital. We are very thankful to have you here. And today I think we're going to share some information that's going to be very interesting to you if you're in commercial real estate or if you're looking at transitioning into commercial real estate. But before we get into our program today, there are a couple things that I want to mention to you. As many of you know, I have accepted a position as the chairman for Project PRC, which is a nonprofit organization that has been established to provide affordable housing, workforce housing, student housing, and try to address the homelessness issue. We're asking everyone, all of our audience, to support this nonprofit organization, Project PRC, by going to projectprc.org/donate. Now, what we're asking you to do is to donate $10 and then have 10 of your friends donate $10 and then have their 10 friends donate $10. So if you think about it, all you have to do to make this program successful is to have $10 and 10 friends. Now, hopefully the $10 isn't a challenge for you or the 10 friends. But if it is, call me and I'll try to help you out. But support Project PRC. Go to projectprc.org/donate. Now, with that bit of business out of the way, please join me in welcoming our guest, Mr. Cody Payne. Mr. Cody Payne is with Colliers International. How are you doing today, Cody?
I'm doing good, sir. I appreciate you having me here.
Well, we're very happy to have you here. You know, it's always our desire to bring in subject matter experts to talk about, you know, current conditions in various sectors of the commercial real estate field. And you've been doing commercial real estate for quite some time now, right?
About 18 years now.
18 yeah. years. That's almost a career. You're on your way to retirement, aren't you?
I don't know about that, but, you know, I still enjoy what I do. So I got plenty of juice left in me.
Okay, well, perfect. So tell us how you got started in commercial real estate. Tell us a little bit about your professional background.
Well, I mean, it's quite simple, actually. I grew up in Grand Prairie, and I really didn't want to go to college. And so right when I got out of school, I was selling cars, and somebody introduced me to a guy out here that ran a local firm, David Dunn, and I convinced him to hire me, and he said he would if I went to college at night. And so he kind of taught me the ropes, and I did that, and he stuck me in the kind of office industrial leasing sector. And so that's kind of where I got my feet wet with him, and I worked for him for about 10 years as he then bought into a Sperry Van Ness franchise at that point.
Okay, very good. So you were fortunate enough to make a connection in commercial real estate and to go right into commercial real estate field.
Yeah, pretty much straight out of high school. I had to do some convincing because no big shop would hire me.
Right.
You know, they all wanted somebody with a college degree or with a family connection, and mm-hmm. I just didn't have that, but he was, you know, he was an opportunistic individual, and I appreciate him for that.
Okay, good deal. He got some free work out of you.
Yeah, pretty much he did.
So that's the first time I've heard it introduced that way. He was opportunistic.
So that's a good way of saying free work. Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, good for you. Well, it worked out for you because you've established a pretty good career, and you know, now you kind of alluded to how you got into the office industrial because that's kind of what you started doing from the very beginning.
Correct.
But how would you say that office industrial differ from other sectors of commercial real estate?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, especially in commercial real estate, as you know, each sector really has its set of buyers, mm-hmm. right? Like typically multifamily guys don't do a lot of retail. You know, there are not a lot of cross asset pollination or whatnot going on. Mm-hmm. The office and industrial sector, however, sometimes does. Mm-hmm. And so really I started in the office sector. Then we started doing a few little bit of industrial here and there. And so now even today, we still sell a lot of flex industrial to office owners and mm-hmm. vice versa. Mm-hmm. And so those two play closer together than probably any other asset class.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. I can see how that, because you have flex space whereas part office, part industrial.
Correct, yeah. And then you have quite a bit that is, you know, true flex, which is 50% office, 50% warehouse, and then over time some of those expand more into office. And so it's the only thing that office doesn't really play with is the big box industrial, gotcha. Right? Because that's a completely different sector.
Right.
But our stuff's more on the flexi industrial side.
Yeah. So now, what would you say is the key to establishing yourself in a career like this? If someone was just getting their real estate license, didn't have the family connection, maybe they have a degree and their license, what would be some of the steps they would need to follow to get established in this sector and in this type of business?
I mean, you just got to be motivated. You know, my motivation was I wanted a Cadillac. I'd never been in one before. Right. And so that was my motivation. And, you know, I wanted to live in Addison. I thought that's where all the rich people lived.
Did you live in Addison?
No, I did. I did move to Addison. And then I realized everybody out there, you know, wasn't millionaires.
Time to move to Grand Prairie.
Yeah. And so it was time to go back. But no, it's really just, you know, finding a sector that you like and enjoy. Mm-hmm. And not being a generalist, because I know, as you know, anybody that does, you know, a little bit of residential or a little bit of, you know, and they kind of do some land over here and some retail over there, they're never really somebody that's a master of the craft and is known in the industry. Is like, you know, when you see an office building, you see a retail center, you say, oh, I need to call this person, right? And so I think it's just really finding a path and sticking to it and it being something that you like and are passionate about it. And so, you know, I know you and I were talking earlier on the office sector and it, you know, not looking so good in the future. It still excites me because I know there's still opportunity for us and for other investors in the field. And as long as there's opportunity and it keeps me motivated.
When
the opportunity dries up is when you lose a little bit of that.
Yeah. And, you know, that's one thing about each market has its cycle. You know, there are times when that asset class is very popular. There are a lot of buyers, there are a lot of sellers, a lot of activity. There are times when it's not as active. And still, there could be a lot of buyers, a lot of sellers, and a lot of activity. Probably more sellers when it's not as popular.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So but we'll talk a little more about that because I'm very curious about how that segment of commercial real estate is doing right now. But before we get into that specifically, with regards to the keys to success of establishing yourself, would you say, how important would you say your reputation is and building your network of associates, if you will? How important would you say that is, and how has that demonstrated itself to you over the last 18 years?
Well, and obviously anytime you're in, you know, sales like this, I mean, you know, everybody says your network is your net worth, right? Mm-hmm. And it's really about who you know. And so when I came into the business, you know, I didn't know anybody. So it was important to go to really as many networking events as possible. You kind of find the ones that, you know, tailor more to you and not so, and some of the ones that, you know, can maybe help you, you know, navigate through other areas. But I mean, just finding a way to promote yourself, you know, at that time when I got started, you know, social media was non-existent. I think everybody was using, you know, that old Xanga blog or whatnot still back then. But I was probably making close to 100 phone calls a day to owners. And just name repetition over time, you know, kind of helped me out and just staying on top of these guys and trying to figure out what information I can provide. And so that's why also sticking to a specific type is key because I can't guide somebody on a multifamily project or, you know, retail or land or anything of that nature. But when it comes to the office industrial sector, you know, we pride ourselves in being the experts and leaders. And so we're constantly looking up trends and how to make these things better. And so being able to offer that to the end user, the owner, whatnot, is really the important key. So, you know, finding the key people in your sector, staying in front of them, I think is really the biggest driver that helped me out.
Okay. So building that network.
Correct.
Of individuals. But it sounds like you spend a lot of time educating yourself on how to underwrite a deal and put a deal together.
Correct. And not just that, but also understanding, you know, the markets out here, especially in Dallas-Fort Worth, you know, where we're at here, the average tenant size is, you know, maybe 2,500 square feet, right? When you take all the tenants and you divide them by the number. Now, when you go to, you know, uptown, it's closer to 8,000. And so knowing those things, and so if somebody has a vacancy out here that's, you know, 20,000 square feet, you know, we're telling them, hey, you need to chop this down because your tenant pool is so much larger. And so just knowing all those factors, and those numbers change because 10 years ago, Las Colinas' number was, you know, closer to 8,000, and now it's 2,500. And so all those things have changed. But and also being up to date on the cost of finish out, you know, a building like this. I mean, this is a very nice building, and, you know, the tenant improvement costs have gone up substantially over the past 3 years, but the rental rates haven't. And so that's what's kind of eating some of these Class B office buildings or Class A office buildings, is their TIs are so high and have gone up so much, but their rents haven't adjusted for that. And so that's some of the issues that you do see in the office sector. And so just kind of figuring out ways to overcome that, how to, you know, tailor some of these buildings to meet the market and exceed how they should be and stay in front of all the competition, because it's, you know, an office building, at the end of the day, there's not a lot of the stuff that's proprietary about it, right? Except maybe its location. And typically where an office building is, there's going to be several around there. So you got to find a way to match the market and be, you know, the icon or the building that people look at.
So I can see just in our discussion how you really have developed your expertise as an advisor in this space. And that's probably helped you to gain those opportunities to represent sellers and represent buyers. Would you say that's true?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, my mentor, he told me I had to, because, you know, when I came in, I was still a teenager, and, you know, he made me cut the mohawk and everything. And and so he said, nobody's going to trust you with that look. And, you know, I'd have my shirts unbuttoned down to here. Yeah. And so he cleaned me up pretty good.
You're up to here right now.
I know. I mean, you know, it's, you know, I
that's okay.
I'm much better now.
You got to have your look.
Right? I know. And so, you know, it's, but it was, he was very influential on, you know, hey, you're not going to like some of these things you got to clean up, but to get the type of people that you're trying to work with to trust you and whatnot, I mean, presentation value is huge. And so just kind of understanding that. But yeah, I started on that, and we still do that today. I mean, we stay up to date on everything.
Yeah, I think it's important. I know, you know, as an owner, and I'm trusting my the person representing my properties in the market to advise me where the market is going, or if I'm looking to acquire, you know, to give you to advise me on why this is a good acquisition and why we should be targeting it and what's the best price where we should be offering and what my competition is doing. So I know, you know, we rely very heavily on those representing us out in the marketplace. And I'm sure your owners and sellers and folks do as well.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, it's not car sales. We're not here to make a dollar or here to convince somebody to buy or sell. I mean, you know, it's really advising them on what is best to do at the current time. And giving them the options and then helping them pick those. And if you step back and take your pocketbook out of it and put it in that perspective, I think you'll generally see a lot more business come your way.
Yeah. So let's talk more specifically about what's happening in office and industrial. Is it going to survive, or are all the offices going away? I've heard this thing, rumor about some computer program called Zoom, and it's going to replace all the offices. Is that just a rumor? What's happening with offices?
I mean, I think there will still always be office around. You know, obviously, office is going through a transition right now. You know, there's a lot of vacancy continues to come up, a lot of sublease space out there. Like I was saying, you know, these landlords are getting hit with, you know, much higher expenses and capital improvement costs, and the supply chain didn't, you know, help anything out. You also see a lot of office buildings being redeveloped or converted into, you know, maybe multifamily. We sold some that were, you know, going to be just straight demoed and turned into industrial sites. So, but as far as the actual office sector goes, I mean, there's still a lot of companies that, you know, want people in the office, need people in the office. I think there will always be an office need there. But I do think these next 3 years are going to be a transition period for the office sector. And so it's, you know, I think anybody trying to predict where it's going to end up is, you know, it's kind of a crapshoot. But I do think that we are, you know, the U.S. is oversupplied on office currently. I think that's just a fact. And so, you know, as these things shake out and some of these, you know, buildings have gone into foreclosure, we've sold a couple of foreclosures, we're picking up a few more. You know, those are several of those are being transitioned into something else as well. The best part about office is they're usually located, their locations are usually pretty good. Their infrastructures are usually pretty good. And so, you know, that's why multifamily looks at them for reconversion purposes because of how well the infrastructure is when they're built. But I think there's gonna be a lot of factors to look at. You know, rental rate's gonna be one, ownership's gonna be one. Keep in mind, institutions aren't buying office right now. It's it's the rarest of rare. And so, like with anything in life, even the stock market, if institutional money isn't investing in it, the prices come down. And so I think you're gonna continue to see that as long as they sit on the sidelines.
Wow, that's interesting. So I guess if you have a way of repositioning the property or filling it up, this could be a great buy opportunity in some of these markets, right?
It could be. I think that some of the, like the Class B and C market, I think is still coming down. And so if it were me buying, I would probably wait a little bit longer because you've got so much debt that's also coming due. And you've got, I don't know if you know this, but there's over, just in DFW alone, there's over 230 office buildings for sale right now, which is more than I've ever seen at one time in 18 years. And so, and a lot of it's just sitting, counting market time because sellers aren't willing to meet the market. And so as long as you have more inventory coming online that's coming offline, it's just like, you know, the housing back in 9 and 10, you know, I mean, you know, I bought a house in Grand Prairie that was a foreclosure for $25K, you know, I think in 2010, and you couldn't do that. But the only reason you could is because there was so much for sale. And I think the office sector is on that way. It just hasn't been hit hard enough, long enough, but it's, I think it's getting there.
It's on its way.
Yeah.
So now what impact would you say that interest rates, the capital markets are having on, you know, driving foreclosures or driving the prices down or putting that pressure on people to sell? What impact our wonderful Federal Reserve Bank, what impact is it having on your sector of commercial real estate?
I mean, it's a huge impact. You know, we've got several deals under contract right now ranging from 6.75% to 8% on the interest rate that they're buying it at. I mean, that's just a huge impact in value because, you know, a year and a half ago, they were, you know, high threes, low fours. And plus there was a tremendous amount more buyers in the market at that time. So like with anything, I mean, it's affecting it quite a bit. What it's affected most is the amount of buyers in the market. And so you've got a lot more inventory than you do active buyers.
Because they have to have substantial liquidity to, I mean, or what about the lending market? Are you seeing that there's capital on the debt side for these transactions?
Absolutely.
Are people coming in as cash buyers?
Yeah, no, there is. And, you know, it's not using, you know, large national banks traditionally. It's using a lot of local guys. Down payments are a little higher right now. Several that we're working on, they're doing 50% down is to where, you know, previously they'd be 25 to 30. And so, and they're doing that not just to appease the lender, but also to try to get that cash flow number to where they need it. And so, that's like with anything. If your interest rate's too high, you got to bring a little bit more money to the table. But that is the good news in the sector, is because, you know, the private sector, right? People like you and me and, and, you know, your general venture capitalists, your funds, your family trusts, those guys are still very active.
Oh, yeah. They're making a lot of money.
They are, and they will be. And they'll continue to do that. And so, but there's also a lot of cross-asset buyers that are looking at the product type as well. We've got several multifamily funds that have been buying off of us or buying office off of us. And so there's still good activity. It's just like with anything, pricing is going to be key with anything.
Well, pricing certainly drives it.
So
going back to the career of commercial real estate, if you were to, because obviously 18 years, you've had your lessons learned. And you've had your moment where you probably had looked at yourself in the mirror with your shirt unbuttoned and said, "Self, if I had known this 18 years ago, I would have done these three things differently." What would you say those things are?
I would have started working out sooner
okay.
than later. But, you know, I think early on, I you know, also it can be a tough industry, as you know.
I mean,
you get the door slammed on you a lot, you mm-hmm. know, especially early on. You know, you're trying to learn, you know, how to pitch, how to sell. And so mine would be to not take things so personally, you know, okay. which, you know, I think we all can. Mm-hmm. You know, if you get a no, you can take it as a middle finger to the face, which it's not. It's just a no.
And right.
you know, you just move on. And so learning to take that rejection is huge because, and I'm sure you've seen, I mean, you know, people that come in the industry, sometimes they don't last because the rejection can be a little much for them or they can't see past that.
Right.
So just kind of understanding that you got to grow at a pace and you're not going to have overnight success. Mm. You know, that was pretty key. I was a very eager individual. Wanted things to be done now. And, as you know, I mean, these contracts can last up to 6 months in some cases,
yep.
you know, we did a CMBS assumption a while back ago and that took 6-7 months.
Mm.
That would have drove me crazy a long time ago.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of staying patient. And then, you know, I was doing a lot of leasing at the beginning as well, which I think helped out our, you know, our ability to understand and do sales better. But, I think transitioning out of that a little earlier would have been a little bit more advantageous to me. But I mean, really just kind of staying patient, staying healthy. You know, I had some, you know, health issues, you know, 10 years ago or so, and they were totally preventable.
Mm.
But I was young and, you know, I knew better. And so, but just kind of understanding those things in life. And taking, you know, people's advice. I've got a very good father who's got a lot of good advice. My grandfather, he always had good words of wisdom. And
How old were you when you realized that your father's and your grandfather's advice was really good?
I mean, early 20s.
Okay,
you know,
good.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah,
most people don't realize it until they're on the other side of those bars.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, I was raised with a good family.
Right.
You know, sometimes you just think you know a little better.
Of course, as a young man, you got to go through that. We all do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Cody Payne, thank you so much for being on our show.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Great insight on what's happening into the commercial real estate sector as it relates to office and warehouse. It's really good to hear about your career path. I think that's encouraging to a lot of people that are probably getting into or wanting to get into commercial real estate. It's a fun career when you're successful. We tend to do quite well, but it does take time, doesn't it?
It takes a good amount of time, but you actually look back and I think the process was a lot more fun than I'm having now.
Yeah.
You know, when you look back at it.
Yeah. Well, fantastic. Well, thank you for being on our show, and thank you for joining us for another episode of the Capital Playbook. And don't forget, go to projectprc.org today and make your donation. Support our 10 for 10 program. And then also with regards to the Capital Playbook program, be sure that you like, you share, and you subscribe to this program. That allows us to attract more guests like Cody. That gives us insight with regards to commercial real estate, and that will help you advance in your career. But until next time, again, thank you for being a part of the Capital Playbook.